Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 18, and your speaker is Alan Spiegel.
I want to end my time here with you today talking about refocusing on your dreams. Refocusing on your dreams. Because when you're going through difficulty in your life, it's real easy to lose sight of your dreams and your, you know, focus. And that's what I've been talking about, you know, focusing and, you know, maintaining your focus during difficult times. And, you know, I was thinking about this today that in Hebrews 12:15, it says that looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so I was thinking about how often we attack our problems in our strength rather than by the grace of God. And when we do that, we become bitter. You know, in other words, you're going through difficulty, and if you try to solve it by yourself, you will become bitter. Really, anything that you do in your own strength, sooner or later, you will become bitter about it. And, you know, that's the same thing in relationship. You know, somebody hurts you, and you, Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 1, he said, it is impossible, but offenses will come. You know, if you're in a relationship with someone, there's going to be offenses. And I don't know why I'm sharing this, because it really has nothing much to do with what I'm talking about today. But undoubtedly, somebody might need this. But if you're in a relationship with someone, you will get offended. I used to tell our people all the time, if you come to church here long enough, I will offend you. I will disappoint you. But the amazing thing about the church community is we get offended, we leave the church. I mean, why is that? Because in our relationships, we don't run away from every relationship we get offended in. If that were true, Janice would have left me on our honeymoon. You know, we went to Gatlinburg. Gatlinburg's one of our favorite places in the world, and we went there. Janice was 17, I was 18, but we were mature, okay? And so she was 17, I was 18. We've known each other since grade 3. We dated through middle school, high school, and married out of high school, 39 years next month. And so we go to Gatlinburg on our honeymoon, and so, you know, I had gotten in the shower, and so I took my wedding band off, and I laid it in the window above the shower there. And so while she's getting a shower, I'm going to run down and get something to eat. And I got down there and realized, I don't have my wedding band on. I thought, oh, Jesus. And I wasn't even a Christian. And I prayed. I wasn't even a believer. I was desperate. God, please don't let her find it. Please. I'll even go to church next week, Lord. You know, if you will. And I got back and walked in, and she's standing there, that wedding band. Tears in her eyes. This don't mean anything to you. You left your wedding band here. So if she had left me the first time she got offended, it would have been on her honeymoon. Why is it that we get a little offended in church, something doesn't go our way, and we leave? You know, somehow we forget that we offend people. It's okay for us to offend people, but we don't want anybody to offend us. Anyway, so said all that for whatever reason. But when you get offended, if you get hurt and disappointed, if you try to handle it in your own strength rather than by the grace of God, you become bitter. And when you become bitter, other people get infected with your bitterness. And so going back to our subject today, when you are not walking in your dreams, you've hit difficulty, it's easy to try to take the process over. You might know what I'm talking about? I'm a take charge person. You know, my philosophy used to be, you know, we'll find a way or I'll make a way. And then you become bitter because it's not working. You know, it's not flying the way you thought it would fly. And so I want to challenge you today to open your heart as I talk to you today about trusting God for a fresh start in some area of your life. This is a verse of Scripture. Psalm 145, verse 14 says, I love this as a Message Bible. It says, God gives a hand to those that are down on their luck. He gives a fresh start for those that are ready to quit. And you may be ready to quit today, but I want to challenge you, don't quit. Refocus on your dreams. And, you know, we went through all that stuff we went through for, you know, it's been 10 months since we moved from Florida, you know, and we went through, as I talked the other day, about, you know, a couple of real tough months for me and about almost 3 months. And you know, I needed a fresh start. I needed to allow God to let something be rekindled in my heart. And so he says, if you're having a hard time right now, God is ready to give you a fresh start. That could be in your dreams. That could be some goal you have. That could be in a relationship. That could be in your finances. It could be in any area. God is ready for you to have a fresh start. Everybody say a fresh start. You know, when you have dreams that do not happen in the time frame by which you thought they would, anybody been there? It's frustrating and disappointing, to say the least. I mean, that's putting it mildly. And so the problem is that it's unsettling because we were not designed to live in lack and failure. We're created in the image and likeness of God, and we were not created to live in lack and in failure. So it's unsettling for us when something doesn't work the way that we had hoped it would. However, we learn to cope with it. You just got to learn to live with it. No, you have to learn to live with it, you know. And so we've learned to cope with lack and all those things. And that really goes against the nature that we have. We have the nature of God. And so we learn to cope with that. Or we just start taking the process upon ourselves. And the Bible teaches us that God created us to live in abundance, to experience life, and to have success. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and I'm going to kind of get you out of this, but I want to talk to you about some things that will steal your dreams. One is disappointment. Disappointment is a dream thief. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, unrelenting disappointment leaves your heart sick. A sudden break can turn things around. So a lot of things that are stealing dreams today is because it hasn't worked out in the time frame we thought it should. And so, you know, our heart got disappointed and we've kind of given up in the process. But I'm praying, as I was praying for before I came over, that I'm praying that that somehow you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on the coals in your heart and let that dream become a flame of fire again, that you will not give up, you will not throw the towel in, that new hope and new energy will come alive in you. I tell you, after these 3 days, we ought to be ready to attack hell with a water pistol. I mean, it's amazing. All right, so the second thing that's a dream thief is people. People. I was looking in the back of my Bible, sitting over there with Janice a minute ago, and I'd forgotten I'd wrote those notes. And in March of 2009, we were in South Carolina teaching, and Janice was teaching. And I was writing notes and didn't have any paper in my Bible, and I was writing in the back, taking notes on what she was teaching. And one of the things that I wrote down, a statement that she made, people who know you will set boundaries for you because they know your weaknesses. That's pretty wise right there now. I don't care who you are. People who know you will be the ones who set the boundaries for you, or try to set the boundaries for you, rather, because they know your weaknesses. They know, hey, Jesus had that. Remember, he couldn't do any mighty miracles in his home city, you know, just like a few runny noses and things like that, and that's about it. Because they couldn't get past, he's Joseph's boy. You know, he's the carpenter. How could he be who everybody says he is? And so people will, if you allow them, they'll steal your dream. And, you know, so we can't let other people draw the boundaries of our life. You know, when I was in school, as a kid growing up, believe it or not, I failed English in the seventh grade. I know you've never imagined that, but I spelled English, and I spelled English. Yeah, there we go. Failed English in the seventh grade. And the English teacher said, after I failed it, said, Alan's not capable of making anything better than an F. You know, you start hearing things like that. And I went to ministry as a young guy, and I was in a denominational church, and they took me to a psychologist to do my evaluation, I guess, see if I was crazy enough to do it. And And they go back for the giftings test, and they said, you can do a lot of things in ministry, but one thing you will be a failure at if you ever try, and that's being a pastor. I remember thinking as a kid preacher, God, you're dumber than I am. You have me pastoring a church already, and even though they said I'd be a failure, they never took me out. But you know, our churches always grew. People always got saved. Why? I couldn't let the boundaries, this guy draw my boundaries. There was times that it was real tempting when things would get tough and I'd hear a voice of a seventh grade English teacher. I'd hear a psychologist saying you'll be a failure. And so you can't let other people draw the boundaries of your life. You cannot allow, listen to this, you cannot allow the negative opinions of other people to become your opinion of you. Have you ever noticed it's always people with no dreams that try to keep you from dreaming? You never see a big thinker and a big dreamer say, oh, you can't do that. It's always people who, you know, people who have never left the county don't want you leaving. Have you ever noticed that people who do not fly that are terrified of flying? So why are you listening to people that don't have a clue? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that word, I studied this a long time ago. That word issues there means the geographical boundaries of your life. Your heart sets the boundaries by which you live and experience life. People can't. Nobody. Someone may stop you temporarily, but you're the only one that can stop you permanently. People. Third thief is the price looks too great. You know, there's no such thing as really having success without there being some sacrifice. And I know that in gray circles, and I don't really consider you to have this mindset, but in most circles now, when you talk to grace people, words like sacrifice is a bad word. Doing is a bad word. It blows my mind. That people look at sacrifice. You mentioned sacrifice. Oh, you're being legalistic here. Or commitment. Don't ask me to be committed because you're putting me under legalism. No, I'm only way that's legalism is if I attach righteousness to it. If I say your commitment influences how God feels about you, now that is becoming legalism. But in every situation in life, there's commitment, there's sacrifice. You know, Janice and I have been married almost 39 years, and we have a great marriage. It's better than ever because our kids are grown. But we have enjoyed every stage of life. But you know what? It took a lot of work. It took a lot of sacrifice on both of our parts, and it still takes a lot of sacrifice on both of our parts. You see, here's the reason we view sacrifice in a negative sense in whatever we are, circles. I hate to say gray circles. I hate to put ourselves in a category, you know, but for lack of better terms. But here's the reason that we view sacrifice in a negative sense because we really don't understand what sacrifice means. Sacrifice, really, I love this. I studied this years ago and I come to this conclusion. Sacrifice means giving up something you value for something you value more. Giving up something you value for something you value more. A good illustration I like to use with that is, how many of you can identify with this? When we were raising our children and we were so broke we couldn't pay attention, our children needed shoes, we needed shoes. Who do you think got them? Kids. Do you think there was any begrudging that? No, we did it cheerfully and happily. We gave up something we valued, shoes that we needed, for something we valued more, and that is our children having shoes. You see, in your pursuit of your dreams, there is sacrifice. But see, with a lot of times we look at our dreams and how far we got to go, and the price looks so great, we do not want to go for it. Because the pain that we view of going to where we're going looks greater than the pain of staying where we are. So that's a thief, though, when you look at it and you think the price is too great. Fear is another one. Fear will stop you. The fifth one, I think on number five here, number five, reasoning, trying to figure out how it's going to happen. I am such a administrative minded planning person, I can plan God out of everything. You know, I kind of did like this. I will make a plan and ask God to join me. God bless what I've decided rather than getting in on what he's already blessed. You know, it's just easier if you do it God's way. Anybody ever done it your way? Number six, quitting. You quit. You quit. I mean, and I could talk a lot about that. But number seven, not being open. Listen to this. Now, here's a real, this is one I really struggled with for a long time. It still do from time to time. And again, we're talking about what steals our dreams. Number seven is not being open to a different plan. See, your dream, your vision can remain the same, but how you get there may change. You know, there's a lot of ways to go across the country. You can walk. Probably not going to happen. Ride a bicycle. You could drive an automobile. You could ride a train. You could go on an airplane. So there's a lot of ways to get there. And if you get stuck on one, like one time I was going out to a conference in Arkansas from Florida, and so that was right when 9/11 happened. Well, all the flights got grounded. So I had to make a different plan. So I drove. See, a lot of times when we hit obstacles and difficulties because we're so set on this is the way it's going to happen, I tell you, if you put God in a box, he'll jump out every time. And so we get so used to our plan being the only, this is the way it's got to happen. This is the way it happened. But so we have to stay flexible to that. And one of our greatest hindrances is, and I like what Jim said in one of his books that said, we desire to control the process. And too often, we'll have real inspiration about something. But because we want to control the process, we never get to where we want to go because we think we know how it's going to happen. I can remember when we were pastoring one of our financial administrators, that she retired quite a few years before we left. But, you finances, I mean, it's not about money, but you got to have money to reach people. So finances are part and very important. And again, grace, people get all goofy and messed up about giving. Are you kidding me? You know, some people, I just want to tell them, but I try to be nice. Janice wants me to be nice. And sometimes I'm going to say something or do something. You shouldn't do that. And I know she's right. You know, you want to tell people sometimes that come up with this stuff about giving, you don't talk about giving because it's legalism, and don't talk about this, and don't talk about this because I want to say you can't get that dumb in the daytime. You had to set up at night to get that stupid. You know, the people that say that are stingy. Now, Jen, don't laugh at me to say that, but I've got the microphone. And this is my last shot. It may be my last sermon after I get home. See, what happens to us is we want to control the process. So this financial lady, you know, say if your budget was, I'm just going to throw a number out. Say if your budget was $15,000 a week and $17,000 came in. Yeah, but if it hadn't been, you know, for that $5,000 check, it wouldn't have been but 12. And I don't care if it comes in one check. God is our source. Yeah, but if it hadn't have been, I don't care. I like what Brother Copeland said years ago. He said, if God decides to send you money in a brown paper sack in a cow's mouth, milk the cow while you got it. It doesn't matter. See, we get our plan, though. See, we strive for the goal, but often we seek comfort through our plan rather than letting God stretch us to the place where we could actually experience the life he wants us to have. So if we're going to refocus or renew our dreams, you know, let me just challenge you with this, that if you're going to refocus and have your dreams renewed, number one, remember why you dreamed in the beginning. Why did you dream in the beginning? Why did you dream in the beginning? I mean, why did you dream? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, you know, the people perish. Why did you dream? A fellow came to me years ago. We're pastoring, and he came to me, and he had been a pastor, and he had to step out of ministry because he got caught with six prostitutes. That doesn't help your ministry. And so he came to me, became part of our church. He'd been out of church for a long, long time, and he's heard about our church, and so he came, and matter of fact, he said as he started coming, he's still going to the bars a lot, and so we'd hear us talk about God's good all the time. He said he was in a bar one night, and he heard somebody say, God is good, and heard somebody said, I don't know, the bar said, all the time, and he looked down and said, where do you go to church? And he named our church, and so anyway, he comes to see me. They're evangelizing. They're just there to evangelize. They're not there, you know. We had a guy in our church that he was still an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic at one time. And so I was preaching on a vision day thing we do every year in January. It's a Saturday thing we do, and I'm preaching about vision. And I mean, I'm going, you know, and it's one of those times when, you know, people would say amen. You know, Fred was there, and he was about the third row, and he said, I'll drink to that. His wife punched, Fred, what are you doing anyway? So this guy comes to me, and I'm washed out. God can never use me again. Look at what I've done and all this stuff. And I said, well, tell me about your, I don't have a dream anymore. I don't have a vision anymore. I said, what did it used to be? And he's kind of slumped down in the chair, you know. And he started talking about his dream, and he started sitting up. In a minute, he leaned out of his, and started hitting the top of my desk, talking, and started getting passionate about a dream. You got to go back and refocus on why you dreamed to begin with. If we're going to regain our dreams, number two, get your heart back in peace. Get your heart back in peace. You know, if we stay in peace, God will lead us into the promise of the fulfillment. But we got to get our heart in peace so we can hear Him. You know, Psalm 23, very familiar. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, to shield me, and I shall not lack. You know, when you get your heart in peace, you can hear the plan of God. It may be different than the plan you had. You got to be open to that. You can hear the plan that God has. Number three, follow your heart, not your mind. And Clint talked about that. Jim's touched on that. Follow your heart, not your mind. You know, that's a big struggle for us. You know, new success is always an adventure into the unknown. And your mind will try to talk you out of that. Your mind wants to play it safe. And so we live in a formula-crazed world. You know what I'm talking about? We got a formula for everything. And so we take what somebody else did. We hear somebody say, well, okay, this is what I did, and this is what I did. And we try to take their steps and make it happen in our life when we don't realize, yes, there may have been some process that they went through, but the reason it worked for them that it was because it was a part of their heart. It was not a formula. We did this years ago in Florida. Rod, our son-in-law, came up with the idea, let's do an express service. 45 minutes is outreach service, guaranteed to be out of church in 45 minutes, put up billboards all around town. And it was religious people went crazy, nuts, and cult and all that stuff. Churches started calling us wanting, how did you do that? Because the AP wire picked up on it, and it went crazy in magazines, Charisma. And so churches from all over the country were calling us wanting to know how we did it. You know what? It was a great success for us, but people that got our information, we had packets that we'd send people about what we did. It didn't work for one of them. They did exactly what we did, but it didn't work. Why? because it was a formula to them. It was not a part of their heart. You see, formulas don't require you to listen to your heart. It doesn't require us to make adjustments. Formulas do not... Listen, there's no one size fits all for success. We have to listen to our heart. And we have to follow our heart, not our reasoning, not our intellect. You see, in the pursuit of success, we start following formulas and we lose the inspiration. You know, if you follow inspiration, there will always be grace attached to the inspiration. The fourth thing is decide. Everybody say decide. Decide to go for your dreams again. Decide. Everybody say decide. Let me give you a verse of scripture. And then I'll make a comment about this and we'll wind it up here. Job 22:28, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, especially concerning dreams, from the Amplified Version. Job 22:28 says this in the Amplified, "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it," whatever that is that you've decided and decreed, "you shall decide and decree a thing, and it," listen to what I'm saying, "shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine on your ways." Okay, so the first thing there is, he said, decide. The second thing is decree. Now, here's one thing I've noticed about decisions. You've really not decided until you tell somebody. Well, if I tell somebody, it means I have to do it. That's kind of the point of telling them. "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it," whatever that is, "shall be established not by you, but for you." But you first have to decide. And when you decide, "it shall be established for you," and I love this, "and the light of God's favor," and I like to define favor this way, unseen advantage. "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's unseen advantage will go to work for you." And so you will then make those divine connections that you need to make, that you're trying to make on your own and you can't get them to work. That God will cause you to meet people that will help you get to where you need to go. You know, there's a book that I think it says something like this: you already know everyone you need to know to get to where you want to go. But we have to open our hearts to this. So I want to challenge you, make a decision to go for your dreams again. It's not too late, regardless of how far down the road you are. It's time to get started again. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're finished.